We can sing that with a medley. I love you, Lord, and I lift my...
Oh, man, that was good. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. Ready for my special? Couple weeks. Amen. I love that song. I blast that song in my van. The windows shake, you know. I'm sure when I pull up, somebody's, well, look at that guy's listening to that rap music, shaking that window. And I roll the windows down. I ain't giving up. Oh, no, that ain't rap. That's God's music. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And also, when you find that, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2 and also 2 Peter chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 3. And that'll be good for now. I am in a very good mood today, very blessed, filled with the joy of the Lord, just had a great week, you know, and last Sunday was good, Wednesday was a good service, our midweek service, and just had a good week, and Thursday we had a great Good News Bible Club, you know, and just had a good time with the kids there. Friday we had a great service, great concert, so, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and, you know, last night studying the Word of God and staying in the Bible for a little bit and spending more time in prayer last night, I just got this joy unspeakable because I spend some time with Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. And it makes a difference. It really does make a difference in your life, your attitude. I mean, it really makes a difference in your spirit. It's this peace that passes all understanding that God wants to give you. It's a supernatural peace from heaven that the angels enjoy, that you and I can experience if we stay close to the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. Our series has gotten us from the mountain with Moses and down to the manger. And, of course, we saw when the shepherds were watching their sheep by night and keeping guard against the predators, there was an angelic birth announcement from the angel who said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." And so the shepherds now weren't focused so much on their sheep, although they were responsible. They were focused on this message and this angel that came from heaven with this birth announcement that there's Christ the Lord, the Savior, was born unto you. And, of course, that was directed to them and all the world. But these guys, they were singled out personally by this angel. So that definitely got their attention. Their focus completely changed. And then the angel continued. He says, "And you shall find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." So he told them that there is a Savior born, Christ the Lord, unto you. Told them who was born. It was born that day. The announcement was made. And then the angel told them where you could find him. So all of a sudden, something happened in the heart of those shepherds. Their desire and direction, their focus changed, and they went to go find this babe wrapped in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. They had to go see this thing that this angel told them about. Sure enough, they got there and they found this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger, just like God's messenger said. But after that angel spoke and gave the message of the Lord, we know that the Bible says that heaven broke out in this glorious choir of angels and singing and praising God, glory to God in highest, and peace and goodwill towards men, and joy to the Lord. And man, it was just a time. I got a feeling those shepherds' focus definitely changed after that. Well, you know, we don't see visions like that. If you do, come see me. I want to know about it. Amen? But what you have and what I have is, all that angel came from heaven, he gave them a message from God. You have the message from God right here. And just like God opened the heavens so that angel can come out and talk to those shepherds, all you have to do is open heaven's book and God will talk to you. Amen? It's that simple. Just open it up and open your heart. And I'm sure it was a nice quiet time. Sheep might have been maybe baaing a little bit, getting ready to lie down, real quiet, peaceful night out there in the woods, out in the field. No distractions, no noise, no cell phones, no computers. Say amen. I didn't get it. Say amen. Amen. All right. Be still and know that I'm God. All of a sudden, this angel breaks out and starts talking to these shepherds. So it's a quiet time for them, and they got the message. And so we went from the mountain to the manger, and what do we find? It's not what we find. We find who? It's God in human flesh. The Son of God, God the Son, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's God, the one who met Moses on the mountain. That babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in the manger was God. This little baby no room for them in the inn. So they had to be born, he had to be born in a stable. Nice fresh hay, nice warm, clean, quiet place, away from all the hustle and bustle and sin of the people. And that's where God, the Son, was born, in a stable. God didn't look for anything fancy for his son to be born in. Remember that. Amen? Okay. And so we find God. And we should be determined also, after you find Jesus, to stay focused on the Lord. See, after you find him, and really he finds you, because the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost, because he was really looking for you, and you didn't realize it, but you were lost, and you were on a road to destruction. You didn't realize it, but the end of the road that you and I were on, that road led to a place called the lake. Yeah, everybody thinks we're going to have a good time at the lake, but the lake is the lake of fire. Amen? It wasn't a lake of recreation or boating or fishing or water skiing. It was lake of fire. And that's where we're heading. The wage of our sin is death, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. And if your name's not written in the book of life, that's where you're going. That's where we were going. Until we found Jesus, until Jesus found us, then everything changes. Our focus in life should change the moment you get saved. And then it should stay focused on God every day of your life. But just like we shared, looking back in 2010, there was times in my life that my focus was off. Amen? Whether I was discouraged, whether I was distracted, whether I was disillusioned or whatever. I just know, or disappointed, or pressures and stress of life, they can have a bad influence on our choices and our decisions and get our focus off the Lord. And that's really what our focus is as we continue this message on a godly focus. You know, the book of Proverbs, God's book of wisdom, has our answer on how you and I can stay focused and have a godly focus and have a focused life. And although we read Proverbs 3, 1 through 10, the key verses is right here. And just like Bill said, this is his life verses. A lot of people have these as their life verses. This is often quoted. A lot of people like to use this. But we're going to take a look at this again today and get really into the Word and find out exactly how you and I could stay focused on God. And so let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time with him this morning. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you for your blessings, and I thank you for your presence. God, it was good to worship you in song and in our offerings, but Lord, now it's time for us to hear you speak to us through your word. You are an awesome God, and we love you, and you're the best. And thank you for the songs we sang this morning that exalts Jesus. You're our focus. You're our life. You said that you were the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by you. And we know that. And so this morning we ask that you help us as we study more about you and your word and your way and your will. Be with Brother Ed and children in Junior Church and Donna as she's ready to deliver here the next day or two or next week or two. Just be with her and the family. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would be with those in the nursery. And there's so many of our people with sickness. I pray that you touch them this morning. And Father, I pray that you help us. Please help me to be your messenger. I pray you bless us with your Holy Spirit. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Proverbs has the answer. And as we begin reading in Proverbs chapter 3, we'll beginning in verse 1, as Solomon is giving these words of wisdom inspired by God to his sons, to his children. And the main thing is obedience. Very important. Now, every parent wants their children to be obedient. The Bible says, in fact, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And, of course, it's a commandment that is also has a promise of long life and that it will be well with you or if you are obedient to your parents. It's very important. It's a blessing to us, to parents and grandparents, that when our children and grandchildren obey us, it gives you a sense of peace, a sense of joy, and a blessing in your life when the children obey you. Amen? Now, you know what happens when they don't obey. Well, the way you feel, multiply that by maybe 100, and you know how God feels when you and I don't obey him. Amen? Because all of us are God's children. And so we kind of experience that a little bit with our own kids and our own grandkids. So the first thing we see here in verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. And here's the promise. If you do that, if you keep a godly focus on God's word, on his ways for your life, he says, for then length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You got this peace that passes understanding. The love, joy, and peace of God that comes from the Holy Spirit. You'll have it. He says, let not mercy, loving kindness, and truth forsake thee. Always tell the truth. Always be honest, and God will bless you. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thy heart. Always be loving, kind to people, and merciful, forgiving, and loving, and truthful. And then it says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And then he says in verse number 5, this is where we start, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. Okay. It's real easy to quote, real easy to preach, hard to live. Sometimes it's very hard to live. We'll break this down. First thing we knew, that a focused life or a godly focus requires dependence. Trust in the Lord. Pretty simple. Trust in the Lord. Oftentimes people trust in their riches. When that goes, who are you going to trust in? Trust in your name. Can't do that. There's all kinds of things people trust in. The Bible says, trust in the Lord. Depend upon him. Complete dependence upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And that word trust in the Lord means in the Hebrew, attach oneself to be connected to completely confide in, to be safe and secure, and be totally surrendered to the fact that you are going to completely trust and attach yourself to and be safe and secure to the one who loved you and died for you and is going to call you to heaven one day. That's the one you trust in. In fact, the way you get saved is that you trust in Christ as your Savior. That's the beginning of your life of trusting in the Lord, is trusting in the Lord for your salvation. That's where it starts. We can't get saved by works, you know that. It's by the grace of God through faith. It's trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross, the empty tomb. So there's a trust. Then we also see that God is true to his word. He's dependable. I have been disappointed many times in my life by people because they were not true to their word. They were not dependable. Sure, I'll meet you there. Sure, I'll do that. Sure, yep. Where were they? They weren't dependable. You ever hear about somebody who you want to hire as a worker? That's one thing that people look for. They want dependable people that they could depend upon to do the job. Say amen. Let me tell you something. God is dependable all the time. You could always depend upon him. He'll never go back on his word. He'll never falter on a promise he's giving you in the word of God. He is dependable. That's why you need to trust in him. He'll never let you down. Never. Second thing we see, not only is a godly focus require dependence, complete trust in the Lord, true to his word, but godly focus requires a dedication. It says here, trust in the Lord, and then it says a prepositional phrase, with all thine heart. All right, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This is complete dedication, with all thine heart. Picture of total surrender, complete, total commitment to his word, to his will, and to his way. Complete dedication to the God of heaven, to the Lord of lords, to the King of kings, and to the word of God in my life. I'm dedicated. I'm not missing. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. I'm getting ready to sing. Say amen. I'm dedicated. I mean, there's a lot of people that are dedicated. I watch football. Of course, college football is over. Now you get the pro football, you know, the playoffs and all that. Let me tell you something. When those guys are on that field, and for the time they're playing, they're completely dedicated to winning that game. And these guys go out of their way to win the game, some of them. I mean, their bodies, some of them, they're seriously injured. Some of them got concussions and injuries that are season ending and career ending. And they're completely dedicated, body, soul, and spirit, to the cause of football. You need to be when you're getting paid $3 million a year. Say amen. When you're not completely dedicated, get off the team and they'll fire them. God is looking for people, for his children, not only to trust in him, to be completely dependent upon him, to be completely safe and secure in him and his word, his will and his promise, but to be dedicated to him and his will. Because once you find the will of God and the word of God, God wants you to be dedicated to that in your life, to be dedicated, to be completely and totally committed to his word, his will and his way. And when you do that, then John 14:6 will be true in your life. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That will be true to your life. Dedicated. There's one thing that you would want in this church. You would want someone who's dedicated. I know in my heart that I'm dedicated to the Lord first, my family and my church family. That's my heart. That's my ministry. And you also should be dedicated to the Lord, to your spouse, to your children, and you also need to be dedicated to your church. Very important. Say amen. Very important. Dedication. Completely dedicated with all thy heart. You know, when we have baby dedications and we have the baby, we pray and we dedicate the baby to the Lord, we're dedicating this child, giving him back to God because it is a gift from the Lord. And asking God to intervene in the life of this child, and at an age when they understand their need for the Savior, that they get saved. The greatest prayer is for us to dedicate this baby back to God where it came from, that God would save this baby and protect this baby, bless this baby. And the greatest thing you pray for is salvation for the baby, and that the baby gets to find God's will for his life and does it. That's it. And wisdom to live in this wicked world that we live in. Dedication. Third thing we saw was a godly focus requires discipline. Just like Bill was sharing this morning, and the Bible says, trust in the Lord, complete dependence upon God with all thine heart. That means dedication. And lean not unto thy own understanding. Oh, wow, here we go. Remember we shared this a little bit last week, and lean not unto thy own understanding. That's disciplined. I'm not going to try to figure all this thing out. I'm not going to try to do it my way. I'm not going to allow my emotions and my feelings to get in the way of God's will or God's word. Say amen. I mean, that's why when I look back at 2010 and realize there's a time my emotions and my feelings and my Italian temper got in the way of God's word and God's will in my life, I know I messed up a couple of times. I wasn't disciplined. What do you think they teach the soldiers down there during basic training? The first thing they're doing is they're getting them in shape, but they're also teaching them discipline. Because when they get out on the line, they better be disciplined because it means the life of them and their soldiers. Discipline. We don't realize it, but we need to be disciplined because it means the lives of people, their emotional life, their physical life, maybe their financial life. If we make a wrong decision out of God's will, out of God's word, we can mess up our life and many people around us. You look back and you say, man, I messed up. I lost my focus on the Lord. I was emotional and did some things and said some things in anger. If you look back, you knew that was not God's way of discipline. The hardest part of staying focused, I believe, is the part of my own understanding. I know the older we get, the more wiser we get, the more understanding we have, the more experience we have, and sometimes we think we can figure things out on our own. And when we do that, it's like, I don't need you, Lord. I can handle this. Bad mistake. Then you're not trusting in him at all. You're not depending upon him. You're not completely dedicated to him when you think you could solve the problem or you got the faculties and the means to take care of the problem without consulting the Lord about his will and his way and his direction for your life. That's when you get in trouble. It's not about us. It's about him. And so that's the biggest part and the biggest, I think, fight that we have is that we need to be disciplined. It's the hardest part of staying focused, my own understanding. I try to figure things out. I try to second guess. And sometimes I'm often wrong about what was done or what was said or why it's happening, who this and who's that. And boy, I don't have all the facts. When I go all the facts, I feel like an idiot. Why? I wasn't disciplined. I was thinking of my own understanding, which is like that compared to God's. Without God's presence, without God's wisdom, we are in trouble. I mean, faculties, human faculties, and when human emotions and feelings get in the way and they conflict with God's word and God's will, we're in trouble. That's why we need to stay focused. That word lean, it says, and lean not unto your understanding. It's not just, you know, like kind of I'm leaning here. That word lean in Hebrew means putting your entire weight on something, completely resting, and it's like this. That's why, I mean, completely sitting on God's word, completely leaning on the Lord, on His wisdom, on His word, not your emotions, not your feelings, not returning evil for evil, but taking God's word and apply it to your life and leaning on His understanding. All the way on Him. That's the key. Discipline. Put all your weight on Him. He can handle it. It's like that. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Lean on me. That's a good song. Lean on me. And here's the fourth thing, and I think this is where we ended last week and didn't get started with. This is where we're going to pick it up. The godly focus not only requires dependence, trusting in God, and discipline, not leaning on your own understanding, and dedication with all your heart, but a godly focus also requires, and this is very important in the time that we live in, it requires discernment. Discernment. And let's look at the next verse now. Verse number 6. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Complete dependence, complete dedication, and lean not unto thy own understanding, discipline, and not trying to figure it out and do it in your own way and your own will, under your own emotions. Do it God's way. And then verse number 6, and this is discernment. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. This is very important. I'm going to park here for a minute. There's a couple key words here. That word acknowledge, it means to recognize. To recognize Him in all your ways. Here's the thing. Very simply put. Can you truthfully say in all that you've done this week that you honored God and recognized Him in all your ways? That He was pleased? And He was the one that was honored by what you've done, what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've ate, what you drank. In all thy ways, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever you've seen, can you acknowledge Him? Can you recognize Him and realize that He was pleased? And the key word also is not only just to acknowledge or to recognize the Lord, discernment, but in. Where are you? That's where you are to acknowledge Him. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing at the time, whether it's family, business, whether it's getting gas, no matter what, you need to be the same 24/7. You need to be a child of God 24/7, and people need to recognize Him in you. In all thy ways, in everything I do, I'm going to recognize, I'm going to acknowledge Him. I'm going to glorify Him. I'm going to praise Him and exalt Him, and I'm going to tell Him, and I'm going to prove Him that I love Him by my words and actions. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge Him. All my ways, I'm going to recognize the Lord. His lordship in my life, my complete dependence upon Him. Not just the geographical areas and places that I'm at, but the emotional state I'm in, the spiritual state I'm in, the physical place I'm in, the financial place I'm in. I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways. My body, my mind, my soul, my spirit is God's. I've been purchased with a price. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. I'm not my own. So I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways. Why? Because He owns me lock, stock, and barrel. And I have no right to do anything outside of His will. No right not to give Him glory in everything I do. No right not to exalt Him in what I'm watching and what I'm seeing. I have no right at all not to please Him in my life. I have no right. None. And when you do that, when you do honor God in all your ways, when you do acknowledge Him, you're going to be blessed beyond measure. I'm telling you. I really think that's what happened in my life this week. I took what I've been preaching. I took what I've been studying. And it's not just a sermon. This is life application. And I've applied it to my life. And now I'm experiencing exactly what God said would happen in my life when I take this and do it. It's not just words in a book. These are life. His words are life. It's truth. They're supernatural. Amen. He died to give us this book. I mean, who are you trying to please? Who are you trying to impress? Whose attention are you trying to get? God's, I hope. Ask God for discernment. Man, if that's something that we need to ask for, you need discernment in this day and hour that we live in. In our Sunday school class, we're studying about cults, and Justin sent away for this new book, this booklet that he got from this cult, and boy, if you don't know any better and you read it, boy, you get sucked right in. It's called The Unity. It's a New Age cult. It talks about the source, like Star Wars or The Force. This is the Unity's source, capital C, and how you can be, you can have all power and authority like Jesus, and you can just command your life, and you can command this and speak that and command that. And no, Jesus says all power and authority, all the authority and power was given to Him. All power was given to Jesus. Amen. And if we get any power, it comes from Him, not from us. This cult says you are the source of your own power. You're the captain of your own ship. You can have this power and authority and command your life and command the elements like Jesus. That's hogwash. Man can never become a god, but God became a man, the person of Jesus Christ. It's New Age. It's of the devil. You need to have discernment about what you believe and why. That's right. What you believe and why. Why? The last days, seducing spirits and doctrine of the devils. Going to try to infiltrate the church in different ways. Subtly, they'll try to drop the seeds. The wares, the tares and the wheat, they grow up together. You really can't tell the difference till they really get really, 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 really tall. And then the wheat bows. Not the tares. They stay up straight. The wheat gets heavy and bows down to the ground and worships Jesus. Tares don't worship Jesus. Oh, you may think they do. But when they try to sow false doctrine and false teaching, the false prophets, you better be careful. Discernment. You need to ask God for discernment. There's distractions in this world. There's deceptions in this world. You got to watch out. And Paul would constantly warn the churches of false teachers and false prophets. In fact, you don't need to turn there, but I'll turn there and I'll read this portion of scripture to you as he wrote two letters to the church of Corinth. And one of them, at one part in particular, he was concerned because they had so-called prophets come into the church. So-called godly teachers, with a word from God comes into the church. Men and women supposedly anointed with this special gift, this special insight from God. They look so good. They seem so right. They blended in so well. But look what he says in 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 14, and 15. But what I do that I will do, I'm sorry. Verse 13. For are such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And then he says about these false apostles, these false prophets, these false teachers, and these deceitful workers. He says this in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 11. Therefore, it is no great thing for his ministers. Whose ministers? Satan. He's got ministers? You betcha. For Satan's ministers also to be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You need to mark it down. Just because people come in and they look like a Christian, they may even be carrying a Bible, doesn't mean they're like you and me. Amen? Doesn't mean after a while, by their fruits, you'll know them. You'll know. And the Holy Spirit of God that you have, the third person of the Trinity, this security system that you have, there's an alarm that goes off inside your heart if you're right with God. Something's not right. I feel a little uncomfortable. I'm grieved. I'm vexed. What's that? That's discernment from God letting you know. Warning! Something ain't right. Be careful. Amen? Discernment. You need it. God will give it to you. Godly focus requires discernment. Boy, if Eve would have prayed for discernment, I think we all would have been in good shape by now. Amen? He tried to distract her and deceive her, and Satan did a good job. I tell you, the cults are big on that, man. They use God's word. They seem godly. They seem Christ-like. They seem the right way. And if you really get to know them, a lot of them claim the only way to heaven and everybody else is wrong. Look, I don't claim we're the only way. Jesus claims he's the only way. Our church teaches that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Amen? Now, there's a lot of other religions that I don't associate with because they don't teach the Bible the way. They're off on doctrine as far as salvation and different things like that. And some of it's just false teaching. Some of it's just outright demonic. I won't associate with myself with some churches. I just won't do it. Some I will. There are some other good churches based upon who Jesus is in their eyes and the doctrine they teach. It's very important. Now, there's some things you could disagree with. So, I mean, some little stuff, you know, and that's fine. You can still fellowship. And I got some people that believe that they're going to go through the tribulation period. And everything else is the same. I can still fellowship with them. If they want to stay here, let them stay. I give them my house. They could take care of my cats and my fish. Let them stay. Amen. Scott will turn over his landscape and business. They'll be blessed if they want to stay here. I'll even give them the church. Hopefully no need to be here when we go. Say amen. Yeah, they want to stay, let them stay. I want to go. Discernment. You know, those wise men, they came and Herod said, hey, listen, the high priest and these holy men, they searched the books. You want to know where this king of the Jews? They said Bethlehem. That's where you find him. And do me a favor, wise men. When you go and find this child, this king, come and bring me back a word. Tell me where I can find him so I can go and worship him also. Isn't that what King Herod said? Is that what he meant? No. He spoke with a forked tongue. He was a liar just like his father, the devil. And when those wise men got there and they presented their gifts and worshiped the king, the Lord spoke to them, gave them discernment. They were warned not to go back the same way and talk to Herod. They went back a different way. God redirected their life. Discernment. People say one thing and mean another. God will give you discernment. Amen? And how about Joseph? Joseph's there and he's there in Bethlehem and all of a sudden, Jesus just a couple days old and he gets this dream, and God's warning him in a dream. You got to get up, and you got to go to Egypt. Egypt? Didn't question God. First, we had to go to Bethlehem. Mary's great with child. It was really rough, but we had to go. We had to take the census, and then, of course, she had the baby, and there was no room. Nobody had any room. No rooms in the inn whatsoever. My wife, Mary, she had to have the baby in the stable, and there was no place to wrap Jesus, but we got swaddling clothes of cows and donkeys, and there's manger, there's feeding trough, and we put him in there as a crib, but God the Father supplied for their needs. Joseph, you get to flee. You need to get out and go to Egypt. Herod's going to come and kill all the babies 2 years and under. Get Jesus out. You need to ask God for discernment. People like to abuse and use you for what you have and who you are. Say amen. Now, as a Christian, you should have a giving heart. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And some of you have the gift, the spiritual gift of giving. I have that. That's why it's uncomfortable for me to receive, because I like to give. And all of us should be giving people. But you better mark it down. You know how many phone calls I get during the week for people who think we're just a bank here? And just I could just give everything we got. Can't do it. I mean, they try to get into the churches because supposedly the churches are giving. And be careful, because if you're a Christian and you are a Christian and people know you're a Christian, people may want to come after you just for what you are, what you have. Pray about the sermon, because maybe God will want you to help somebody out. We present needs from the pulpit. We tell you who is at need. When we find out, we pray. You pray about giving and offering above your tithe to that person. God will bless you. Just like Friday night, we gave up a lot of people here. We gave an offering for Brother Squire and his trio, and Lord bless. And that, hopefully that was an offering above your tithe, and God's going to bless you. Here's the thing I like to do with people sometimes when they call. I say, do you have a church? 99% of the time, they don't have a church. I say, okay, why don't you come and worship with us on a Wednesday night, or if it's a Monday or Tuesday, come Wednesday night, I'll talk to you after the service, or so during the week, come Sunday morning, and after the service, I'll talk to you in my office. Let's see what the Lord's going to do. They never come. They never come. Then I had one guy come in here. Pastor, I'm stuck. I got a job. I'm going to go this afternoon, but I have no gas in my car. Can you give me $25 to at least get me there and back? And hopefully the guy can give me an advance on my pay. Seemed real honest. This happened 2 years ago. And I felt sorry for the guy. I said, here's a guy, got a job. He's going to go to work. He's got no gas. Okay, I'm going to help him out. I said, you know what? You're in luck. I hate to use that word luck. You're blessed. You're in luck, I said. Lord, forgive me. But I'm getting ready to go, and I'm going to go fill up one of our church vans because it's on empty. And you come follow me to the BP station, and I will give you gas. I will pump the gas myself. Oh, no, I couldn't have you do that. I mean, no, that's all right. Preacher, that's all right. Just give me the money, and I'll go pump it. I said, no, I want to fill your tank, not give you 25. I want to fill it up to the brim. And then I'll pay for the oil if you need oil. Let's just check under the hood, because if you're using this car to go to work, I want to be a blessing. You're in luck today, mister. Come on, let's go. No, that's okay. Just give me the 20. How about 20? 20. Now he goes from 25 to 20. 25 to 20. What am I, an auctioneer here? I'm auctioning off. Well, what am I? Can I have a 15, 20, 10, 5, 15, 20, 25, 15. And I looked at him. I said, sir, let me tell you what you need more. You need $25. I said, you need Jesus. He said, yeah, preacher, you're probably right. He said, I ain't got time. I got to go. I said, you're going to try to hit another church? I said, that's what you're going to do. You're going to keep going until you get your money. Is it drugs? What's the problem? So I gave him a tract. I said, you need to read this. Jesus loves you. He died for you. You need to be doing all this stuff. You need Jesus. Never seen him again. Don't know if that was an angel. I have no idea. Because the Bible says you don't know when you entertain angels. Amen? Well, I know he didn't want to go with me at the gas station. Amen? Oh, preacher, can you give me $15 so I can get some food? No problem. Come and be IGA, man. I'll load you up. No, that's right. I don't want you to go. No, come on up. I'll buy you the food. We got an encounter. I'll give you more. I'll give you $50 worth of food. No, just give me the money. That's all. No, I know what you want that money for. Because if you need a food, you follow me. If you need a gas, you follow me. That's not what you want. You got to use discretion. You got to use discernment. And that comes from the God of heaven. Amen. Teenagers, you better use discernment. Oh, come on, man, we're going to go hang out. We're going to go to so-and-so's house. The parents going to be there? No, you better ask God about what's going to happen over there. Amen? Oh, we're going to go to a party. Really, you better ask God for discernment, because it may be the last party you ever go to. Say amen. Oh, I like to have fun. Well, we'll show you to have good, godly fun, to have a godly focus when you have fun, and still have a good time being Dutch for Jesus. Amen? Now, I love to have fun. I really do. I love to have fun. Will you look at that? All right. Now, so here's a couple verses I want to give you. 1 Corinthians 10:31 about discernment. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all the glory of God. Oh, whoa, whatever I eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. Yeah, you know, for the longest time I don't know where we got all this candy from. I mean, people gave us all kinds of different stuff, but I got a lot of candy home. I don't know. I know my wife bought some when it was discounted, and I'm going to bring it for the kids and stuff, Good News Club and everything. But I got all this candy home, and I've been, for the past couple weeks, I haven't just had one little piece of candy like I'm allowed to. I've been loading up on the sugar. I mean, I've been like it's going to be no more sugar for the rest of the world. I've been like addicted to this stuff. And when I get home, normally my blood sugar's low and I should eat a bar or a protein drink or, you know, some peanuts or an apple with peanut butter or something like that and something healthy to get my sugar up. But I've been hitting the candy. Not one or two, I mean a bunch. And so I'm eating the candy like crazy. Now one time I was in the refrigerator and they had brownies. And I was looking for something and a big chocolate brownie. I took a bite and I put it back and my wife comes around, she's saying, "What are you doing?" I said, I'm just looking for something. And she says, "You didn't get any of that brownie, did you?" I said, "No." I closed the door, and here's the brownie on the back of my mouth. "Nope. I didn't get the brownie." She says, "Yeah, you did." I said, "I didn't get the brownie. I got a bite of the brownie." "You didn't say bite of the brownie. You didn't get specific. I'm not lying." "You said, did you get the brownie?" "I didn't get the brownie. I left half of it there." But I did eat half of it. Amen. Deception. I could use heavenly deception. Like the cults do. No, you got to use discernment. So now I've really watched myself because it really affects my moods. Hypoglycemic people, low blood sugar, you can become really nasty. Mean. I mean, you don't want to be around me when I've got low blood sugar. I'm mean. I mean, amen, mean. Amen. My kids will tell you, I mean mean. Like a snake. Like, that guy's a pastor. He should be in jail the way he's acting. I mean, I fit all of the mafia traits when I have my high blood sugar. I fit right in with Uncle Angelo and Uncle John. Amen? I mean, mean. And I know that when I eat that kind of stuff, I am not giving glory to God. Because I should have discipline in what I eat and how much I eat. Because it affects my moods. It affects how I treat my wife and how I snap at my kids. And maybe how I treat people on the phone or on, you know, out there in the marketplace. I mean, whatever I eat or drink, I need to do for the glory of God. Amen? You too. Another scripture, this is my life verse, Colossians 3, verse 17. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed," not just drink and eat, but word and deed, "do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and Father by him." Well, if you use those two verses about what you're eating, what you're drinking, what you're doing, what you're saying, 1 Corinthians 10:31, Colossians 3, 17. If you use those two verses, especially in your life, along with Colossians 3, I think you're going to be blessed. All right, it's really simple. It really is simple if we just do it his way. Amen? When we're depending upon the Lord and we're trusting in him and his word and his will and dedicated to the word, to the Lord, and we're completely sold out and we're all in, we're disciplining ourselves, we're asking God for discernment on our part, and is God in this thing? I always ask this, "Lord, is this you? Is this your will? God, are you in this?" I mean, then I try to figure, "Lord, who am I pleasing? Am I honoring you?" Then when you do all these things and you end with the sermon, then let's look at this one part. We're going to end here and I'll finish this tomorrow. Yeah, if you want to come tomorrow, we'll do it tomorrow. Amen? Look at this other scripture and then we're going to be done. And I'm going to close with this. Lost my place. Proverbs 3. Am I foaming at the mouth? See any foam yet? Eric, am I foaming? All right, just let me know, okay? Otherwise, you're in trouble. All right. Now, look what it says here. "In all thy ways acknowledge him," okay? "In all thy ways acknowledge him," discernment. Guess what's going to happen when you do that? What does it say next? "And he shall direct thy paths." You ain't got to worry about it. GPS, heaven's GPS, God's direction. Amen. It's right here. Where do I find heaven's GPS, Brother Ted? It's Proverbs chapter 3, right there. You want a godly focus in life? I'm not talking about just 2011. How about for the rest of your life? Just do it. When you put all those things together, the end result is you've got divine appointments, divine direction. Not only does he direct you, he protects you, provides for you, and gives you this blanket of peace above you. Where's my umbrella? Bless God, I have, here it is. Remember this? Man alive, I'm ready now, ready to take a run and leap around the church with my umbrella, like Mary Poppins right here in a minute. You know what my son Jason did one time? He's about 5 or 6. We were in the backyard in New York. I couldn't find him. I don't know where he was. We had a pool, a little pool back there, you know, 15-foot pool, and I didn't know where he was, and I had the gate up so I couldn't get in. I'm yelling for him. All of a sudden, I go out in the back, and here I am, Dad, here I am. I turn around. He's up on the carport with this umbrella. He's got the umbrella open. He said, "Watch this, Dad." I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm going to be like Mary Poppins." I said, "No, yeah." He jumps off, and you know what? The umbrella didn't help him at all. Amen. Not at all. One time I was praying, "Lord, please help him fly just this one time. That's it. I'll bless you even more." He didn't get hurt. Praise the Lord. I think some angels caught him. Anyway, but you know, when God gives you direction, when you follow his word, and you're underneath this grace umbrella, you shouldn't worry. Because you're right where God wants you to be. Even though it doesn't make sense, lean not on thy own understanding. He's going to direct your paths. It didn't make sense that I sell my house and leave our family to go to Jacksonville, Florida. I mean, why couldn't I go up there somewhere? And then to leave Florida, and I had a good job, and we were pretty happy. And I didn't want to come to Ohio, but it didn't make sense to me. But God directed me here. And guess what I got? I got God's blessing in my life. Because I took Proverbs chapter 3 and applied it to my life. Now this is a protection also. Because not only is the grace umbrella, but God's grace also is a shield that protects you from the fiery darts of the wicked one. See, when you get saved by grace, you get the whole armor of God. Part of the armor of God is the shield of faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God's direction, boy, how we all need it. From the youngest to the oldest. Now for children, that's the parents' responsibility to give direction and discipline to the children. Direction and discipline in their lives. Very important that we do that. Biblically. Amen? Discipline and direction according to God's word, God's will, and the hearts and lives and the homes for our children. Very important. Not the world's way, God's way. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Proverbs chapter 22. That's a principle to live by. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, as far as adults, we still need God's direction in our life. Doesn't make a difference how old we are, how much experience we have. We still need his divine direction. Don't lean into your own understanding. Let him direct your life. When he does, you're going to be blessed beyond measure. And people around you will see it. And they'll know. And you'll give a testimony on how good God is. But here's the question I'm going to ask you before we pray. And it all begins with trusting in Jesus as your Savior. Have you done that? Have you asked the Lord to be your Savior? Is Jesus Christ in your heart right now as your King, your Lord, your Savior? Have you trusted him to forgive you of all your sins and to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and prepare your place in heaven, a mansion, and base your life on the promise he'll never leave you nor forsake you? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? He is the only way to heaven. The only way. There's not many. There's one. Him. Have you trusted him? You say, Brother Ted, I'm not really sure. I struggle with that, and sometimes I'm not really sure I'm saved, and don't really have that peace all the time, and I made some mistakes. I've lost my focus last year, maybe a couple years ago, really got off track, really got off focus in my life, and I need to get back on track. Well, I hope and pray the Lord spoke to you this morning. I pray you come down and spend some time at the altar with Him, because He'll help you. But friend, are you here not sure you're saved, not sure Jesus is in your life? Say, Pastor, that's me. Here's my hand. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure Jesus is in my life. I'm not sure I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Here's my hand. Would you please pray for me? Anybody like that here this morning? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I need Jesus in my life. All right? One more question. Say, Brother Ted, God spoke to me this morning through the Word of God, through the message. There's something in there that God spoke to my heart about. Here's my hand. Pray for me as I want to follow the Lord's Word. Here's my hand. God spoke to me this morning. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's all stand. Christy's going to play an invitational song for us and respond to the Lord. God's direction in your life. It's just amazing how this is building up, and this simple little two verses of Scripture is so powerful in our life. It's the book of Proverbs, and it's a book of wisdom. It's a shame that there's so many people in supposedly Christian churches who don't even look in the Old Testament and says this is not our book anymore. We're a New Testament church, and we should solely base our life on Matthew. And some churches specifically focus just on the writings of Paul. That's it. They're missing out. From Genesis to Revelation, it is God's holy word. Let me ask you a question. How you been doing with your quiet time with God? You been dedicated to Him? Been disciplined? Quiet time with the Lord? You caught something from the Lord? Has He spoken to you at all this past week? You've got every opportunity. It's 1,440 minutes in a day. How much of that time are you giving to Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. And thank You for being an awesome God. Lord, we love You. I pray that You bless now our time of prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come and spend some time at the altar? And you need to pray for maybe some discernment. Maybe that's a big prayer request for you this morning. Maybe God spoke to you. You desire more discernment, more wisdom in your life, you know, to make the right decisions, the right choices, direction in your life. And maybe that's what it is. Are you glorifying God in what you're doing, what you're eating, what you're drinking, what you're seeing, what you're saying? How's your heart this morning? You may be seated and pray right where you are. God can hear you right there in your pew. Make that your place of altar prayer. Christy. You know, the showers of blessings of God are underneath his umbrella. Amen? And so the grace umbrella, God wants to bless you and shower you with his blessing, and for us to be showered with the blessings from the Lord, the grace umbrella is the key. So, all right, we will finish this up next Sunday and get in really in how God can direct your life. There's three different ways, three different areas that he does want to direct you. And so we're going to hit those next week. Really, really important message next week as far as direction. And so I hope and pray you read and pray and get your heart ready for that. So that would be good. All right, next Sunday is also Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And this is also a big Sunday. I was on the phone for Baptist for Life. They're a big organization in the country. I'm also going to contact a few other people in FCJ and some place. I'm going to probably try to get something in the paper. But God put this on my heart, and we've never done this before. And I'm asking all the churches to, for a week, next year we're going to do it the whole month. The whole month of January is going to be the Sanctity of Human Life month, not just a day. We have just a day. It's not enough. This year it's going to be the week. I've got it to be a week instead of a day. But we're going to have our Christian flag outside, our American flag, half mass. Amen? To honor the babies that have been killed through abortion. I know we do that, you know, for public officials and very important people in our military, and rightfully so, to honor them. But we're going to drop at half mass for a whole week and make a statement about what we believe about the unborn who passed through abortion. So, and hopefully that'll make a statement. So the Lord put that on my heart. I've got to do that and hope it goes nationwide and hope it makes a statement, hope it helps some people, especially some young ladies who may be pregnant, thinking about getting an abortion, and maybe they'll get in contact with someone to give them help and do the right thing. Amen? That's important. All right, let's all stand, be dismissed. Don't forget now, there's several sign-up sheets in the back. Pay setters, you have an activity this Saturday at 5, a carry-in, sign-up sheets in the back. And singles, you got an activity coming up on the 28th, and that's going to be a good one. I don't know if there's a sign-up sheet yet for that, but that's only $5 for that. There should be one coming up tonight. I'll have that on there, and so that'll be good. And everything else you need to know, there's devotions. Of course, we haven't had the daily breads. We've got a few more of those, and I think that's it. Any other announcements? We're good? All right. Good enough. Well, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless our service. Brother Fires, would you please pray?